Sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the newest episode of the Theater Enthusiast Podcast. Today, I am very excited about our next guest. She is currently starring as Rose in Titanic off Broadway at the Darryl Roth Theater. Please welcome Lindsay Heather Pierce. Woo! Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get like a better like thing. Or maybe I should just like have every person who comes on be like, what would you want your introduction to be? Like, what?
I was just about to go, let's call it day, which is what my brothers do
We'll call it
whenever
a
they,
game.
yeah, my brothers are athletes, all of them,
Yeah.
all three of them. And so whenever they come and see a show, it's, you know where they are, 'cause it's, let's call it day, let's
Yeah.
go.
Let's go
And they
right
just, they're
now.
like, yeah, like if they're at the Super Bowl, I
Wow.
always know where they are. I'm like, yeah,
So I
let's
can imagine
go.
like during
Yeah.
defying gravity, they must be like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. May 2022, I knew where they were.
yeah.
They
Did you
were
ever have, oh, I
loud.
should wait, but I'm curious because we like just mentioned Wicked. Did you ever have a no-fly show?
No,
Oh.
I had two shows where I had one show where I thought it was going to be a no fly, but it was really just the button had been pressed at the wrong time. So I did not go, I didn't, I the machine wasn't moving when it was supposed, it was very behind. So I was like, get me out of here. And everyone was like, stop trying to get out of the machine. And I was like, I didn't hear plan B. I didn't hear no fly. I need to get out of this machine. And I'm looking on the sides and everyone was like, stay in the machine. It's going. And then there was one where we were having an automation issue. I talked about this on one other podcast, Sentimental Men. And they it was just like all day. The automation had been wonky, and the lights at the end of Defying Gravity happen, but they happened in like a strange order. So I saw this blue light kind of rush the audience because you're supposed to kind of get blasted back at the very end of the song. And then there was no spotlight on my face. There's like an orange spotlight just on Elfie's face. And then blackout, the scrim comes down, the house lights come up, the work lights on the stage come up, but you can't see because of the scrim. House lights immediately came up. Scrim didn't come down. House lights, work lights on the stage came up. Everybody sprinted off, left me there because they were like, no. And I was up there just dangling for all to see.
That's
But
so
no,
funny.
never a no fly. Yeah.
I saw Moulin Rouge. I want to say maybe last this I whenever I saw Moulin Rouge for the millionth time, I treated myself for my birthday. And I think they must have had an issue because it was, I think, the second act where you saw like Toulouse sitting on a ladder after a part of the show and he's like in the background. I'm like, oh, this. There we go. And I think there was an issue with like the Champs-Élysées sign. Champs-Élysées sign there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it
Yeah.
happens.
It
Theater.
is. It's live theater.
It's live theater.
It's not, yeah.
Speaking
There's
of
no
live
CG.
theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's
You
so
can't.
great about theater too, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, like 99.9% of the time it runs smoothly, but you know, sometimes it
Yeah.
doesn't, you know?
Yeah, and those are the magical things where it's like you're never gonna get that show again.
Yeah.
So if you saw something go wrong, even if it was like not something fun, because a
Yeah.
lot of the times people are like, oh, like
Yeah.
what a cool thing that we got to be here for like the broom drop it, you know, or
Yeah.
like a set fall, like it's something crazy, as long as no one gets hurt. But even when people get like, you're never gonna be there again. Like it's
Yeah.
once in a lifetime
Yeah.
experience. No 2 days are the same. No two shows on a two show day. No two shows are gonna be the same.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I love
Well,
when stuff goes wrong.
it's funny because I went to the when Waitress like reopened Broadway, like the first musical to come back, my friends and I went, and there was What Bacon Can Do. They had the wrong pie out for her while she was singing. So I think she even like mentioned it
Perfect.
like later on. She's like, yeah, they had the wrong pie. I panicked. I didn't know what to do. So I just kept going. So,
Perfect.
yeah. And I always
Yeah.
say like it stems back to something that happened in college. Like my friend was working stage management of a show that like they did at my college and I saw it. And she was like, oh, the lights like happened at this point and that shouldn't have. And I told her, I was like, I was an audience member. I did not work on the show. I thought the show was fine. If you are seeing the show for the first time and something goes wrong,
No one ever knows.
No one ever knows. Like, if somebody flubs up a line and it's like easily gone over, like, nobody's gonna know. It might kill
No.
the person that or the crew that it happened to.
Yeah.
It's not
It's
gonna.
always harder on the person that knows all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
Most of the time they have no idea.
Yeah. Again,
But like
life.
seconds of weirdness feels like such an eternity up there. So you're
Yeah.
like, oh my God, I have egg on my face. Meanwhile, the audience hasn't even registered that anything's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
I think people are just happy to be there. It's again, live
Yeah.
theater. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of live theater and your brothers and all that fun stuff, I always start with, where are you from?
I am from Modesto, California. It's a little town in central Northern California. Was born there, grew up there for a little bit, moved to Portland, Oregon for a little bit. My dad went to college in Portland. And then I have three older brothers, and then we all moved back to Modesto. And then I lived in LA for 11 years, moved after Glee Project, and then moved to New York when I was 28 to do Wicked, and then pandemic, and then moved back, and
Yeah.
yeah, and now I'm here doing
And
it. At
yeah. And end of podcast. Thank you for coming on. No, I'm just joking.
the
Yeah.
end, goodbye. You
We
know what?
just,
Shortest one. It's we've been here for 15 minutes.
yeah, the shortest interview. This is what I
Yeah.
did. And now I'm in Titanic. Thank you. No,
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
So what got you interested in performing?
So I was adopted into a family of athletes. I was adopted before I was born, and on my birth family, two different family sides, there's a lot of music, there's a lot of singing, like just kind of like genetic ability, basically. And in my adopted family, there's a lot of creativity, there's a lot of love of music, and like musical ability, but not quite in the same way. And certainly not like interest focused, if that makes sense. Like my dad loved music, and my brothers loved music, and my mom enjoyed music, but my dad was like the music aficionado of the family in terms of played guitar, you know, and loved rock and roll and blues and you know like church and it gospel and but I came in and was like talking, singing, never shut up, you know, diagnosed ADHD when I was seven, like the whole nine, very creative. And my parents didn't know what to do with it. And when we were in Portland, they were just kind of like just happy to experience it, but they didn't think like, oh, we should put her in a children's theater troupe, you know, or something like that. They were just like, yeah, our kid loves to sing and like memorizes movies and you know like loves I don't know just loves to be dramatic and you know have make pretend. And when we were in Portland, my brothers were in what was called an Ajax soccer like band, like a troupe, I guess, like a team. And you would travel, this was back in the 90s, and you would travel very early 90s, like with little trailers like hooked up to your car, then you would go to these tournaments to different states like Washington and Utah, and they were playing with another boy whose dad happened to be like the dean of the music department at Portland University, and this guy had heard me singing. I was out playing in the tall grass, quite literally singing, "I just can't wait to be king." He had no idea if I was a boy or a girl. No idea whose kid I was. And he went around and knocked on all of the trailer doors for this soccer tournament and was like, "Is that your kid? Is that your kid?" And they got to my parents and my mom answered and she was like, "What has she done?" Because the joke was that I was more trouble than all three of my brothers combined. And which I take very seriously and I'm very proud of that.
I just also like to say to the people who are listening, she totally hair flipped when she said that as
Yes,
well.
absolutely
She did
puffed up.
the hair flip. So.
And I certainly my dad called me a force to be reckoned with, and I don't know if that's what I am anymore, but I certainly was when I was that little. I was a handful. And my mom was like, "What has she done?" And he was like, "Your kid has like perfect pitch." I don't have perfect pitch, I have relative pitch. But he was like, she's got perfect pitch. She can really sing. Is that your kid? And she's like, yeah, it's my daughter. And he was like, you got to do something with that. Like, you have to nurture whatever that is that she has. And I'm very much truncating the story, but it's a story that they tell all the time. And all that I remember from any of that time was getting to go to cool places with my brother's different soccer teams and like play by myself. And then there was another story. This is right before we moved away from Portland. It was Christmas time, and all of the kids had gotten a flu. I was in kindergarten. And I do remember this. I remember this like the back of my hand as if it just happened, one of my first memories. And we were doing a Christmas show, and there was some setup where every single kid was holding up a letter that spelled Christmas, like C H R I, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there were maybe four kids that didn't, ha that weren't sick. And I was one of the kids. And so, we're holding up the letters, and my kindergarten teacher was like, does anybody know the H? I was like, I do. And so I went, I picked up the H and I said the H. She's like, does anybody know the F? I was like, I do. And then I did it. And then she was like, Lindsay, do you know the T? I was like, I do. And then when I did the T. And then well, she was waiting for my mom to come get me because obviously we had nothing else to do. We got out early because there was no one there. And she sat me down. She was like, Lindsay, can you do all of it? And I just stood up and I recited the whole, I mean, like 5 minute thing. And she was like, okay. Called my mom. My mom was like, what did she do? And she was like, Carol, this is, we love Carol. Hi, Carol, if you're listening. She was like, Carol, this is a, like, your kid's got a memory bank, is ADHD. I got diagnosed like a couple years later. They were like, oh, right. That's, it's just, I can remember that, but like, I can't remember what I ate 30 minutes ago. Do you know what I mean? It's
That's everything.
my short-term working memory, terrible. My long-term memory bank, fantastic. But it was that kind of thing of that very, the memorization and singing and the creativity and I was drawing, I was writing stories. And then when we moved back to Modesto, there was an opera house in town called Townsend Opera Players. I think it's still up. And they had a program called Cameratini, Camerata, or Cameratini, Camerateens, and then the Camerata, and then the actual like the players, the actual like repertory players. And it was a big opera house basically, where if you were in the tiny kids or the teen or like the young adult programs, you could be in the grown operas, as like, or the big musicals that they were doing, the
It's like
repertory
that.
musicals. Yeah. And that's what I did. I watched these amazing opera artists and perform. And it's how I met Jeremy Stoll, who was in Phantom of the Opera for years and years and years. And he from the same hometown, and there's something in the water in Modesto. And yeah, and I just did like children's theater until I left high school when I was 16. I got done with my sophomore year, and I didn't want to go to the high school I was at anymore because I didn't have any sort of like music or drama program. And so I tested myself into a charter program that allowed me to take high school from like 7 to 12 every day on the campus of the junior college in my town. And then from then on, I got special approval from the dean of the junior college to be a full-time college student at the same time, because I wanted to be able to do the musicals and the plays, and I wanted to be able to study drama and Shakespeare, and voice. And every show that I did would put me over like the credit quota basically. And so I was like, I'm not trying to be a full-time college student, but I want to perform. So you're gonna have to like write me off and like know that I'm taking like a normal amount of classes. I'm just also doing the shows. And that's why it looks like I have too much of a workload. And he was like, okay, I was also taking too many classes, but I was having the time of my, I was like Hermione Grangering my life away. I was having the time of my life. And my eyes were always too big for my stomach. I love a full plate. And then, then we burn out later. But yeah, that was what I did. Which is like a very long form of my parents figured it out before me and gently ushered me through. Because my mom was also adopted and my dad had done foster work and his family growing up, they were really good about, and I love, oh, it's gonna make me cry. But Greg and Carol were really, really good about understanding that just because I wasn't from them physically, didn't mean that I wouldn't be interested in what they were interested in. I am. I grew up with sports. I'm not like a sports fanatic, but I love sports. I think athletes are incredible human beings. And because I was raised with an athlete mentality, therefore, I also have an athlete mentality when it comes to performing and a deep respect for the bodies of performers. And I have a deep respect for the work that goes into it. It's the same amount of dedication, and it's your body every day. And even professional athletes, like, they'll condition and train on and off season, but they will only play maybe two games in a week, maybe. We do it every day with one day off, which is just, it's an incredible feat. And they were really good, my whole family, my brothers included, were really good about being like, just because we like it doesn't mean Lindsay will. Down to the food that I ate. My brothers were picky eaters, didn't want veg, didn't, they were meat potatoes boys. They wanted steak and eggs, like none of that. I was like, I want zucchini with, cumin. And like that, I wanted to try everything. And my dad and my mom are really good about allowing me to, and then being like, maybe we don't like this. Maybe we do like this. I tried. I wanted to play sports so bad. And it wasn't that I wasn't any good. I just didn't have the same drive to want to focus on sports the way that I did on performing. And my parents were like, yeah, you can run fast. And yeah, like you've got all the grit that it takes, but like you clearly don't have your heart in this. And I didn't want to be an athlete. I wanted to be a performer. And, that's how I started, and that's just kind of how I kept on going. But it is, going back, it is why the Pierces are the loudest. Whenever they're in the house, they're
Did you say
screaming like they had
they
the,
their sound pierces? Thank
yes, I would. Yeah.
Well,
And it
Carol
actually,
then.
I took a photo of these Adidas slides that I have in the girls' dressing room at Titanic. They were slides that I wore for the Muni. I just did rent the Muni, and they had it during Take Me or Leave Me. They had us in our underwear, and they gave us these slides to wear. They let me keep them. And on one slide, it's Pierce 57, which was like my track in the show, and that's how it's spelled, Pierce. And then on the other one, it's Pierce 57. So someone either double get like second guessed themselves or realized they'd stuck one on and they were like, that's not how it's spelled, but it's on both of them. So it's just Pierce, Pierce. And I was like, this is my whole life, is these two shoes right here. Is and then the only thing that would have made it better if it was Landseye on one and AY on the other. Like, my whole life
I
just
understand that.
whittled down to these two spellings.
My name is Allison with one L, and the joke is that my aunt, who's known
Yes.
me for bloop, bloop years, still can't spell my name correctly. And I also just find it funny when I've like emailed people and like my name is in the email. I sign it off with my email, like my name, and they still spell it wrong.
Lindsay.
It's like
Yeah. I know my associate director, Billy, at Titanic, because Landseye will autocorrect. It will actually, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. All of the finches. So there's a big evergreen tree right outside my window, and it is the house of all of these little house finches. And sometimes, and I'm talking, I mean, there's like maybe 60 birds in this tree. I can hear them chirping. And in the mornings when it's really dewy, and rainy like this, they will like flock. This is me to a T, by the way. This is what I do every morning. I get a cup of tea and I'm like, and they they flock and they like jump out of the tree and reconfigure around the tree and go back in. And it is so delightful. It's like my favorite thing. It literally brings me so much joy. And then I get nervous that they're gonna bonk into the window. I'm like,
No.
please. So I have these really big, I have like a bay window in my room, which is, it's just like reading nook.
Yeah.
The best. Like
It's like the
I
perfect weather for it. You know, if you didn't have
it
two
is.
shows today, I'm sure you would be like in
Yeah,
your.
well, my first show's at 3, so I've got time, baby. But
Yeah.
my windows are really tall. They're the tallest windows that we have in this house. And you know, it's like you've got the push-up part and then that goes behind the other panel of the window. So I'll push the windows up, I'll open it to get the cold air in, but I'll keep the blind, like the pull down blackout blinds. Oh, there they go, they're doing it, Peter. Oh, it's so exciting. I love watching them do that because I know that they're not going to be here for much longer because they're all going to migrate. But I pull the like my blackout blinds down above that first panel so that I'm like, these are windows. Don't come into these. The mockingbird, however, can bonk into the window at any time because he never found a girlfriend and he's kept me up for months.
Well, clearly
He
he has
sings at
not.
all hours of the night,
So,
and I'm like, baby, maybe you're gay. Maybe he needs to be in theater.
you know
Maybe
what?
that's
There
what I
you go.
need to do.
I think you
But
found your
anyway,
flower.
that was my tangent. But yeah, the misspelling of the name is, it really is. But the our my landsay will autocorrect naturally to landsey, which happens a lot. Like it will autocorrect on the computer, it will autocorrect on iPhones. Don't know about Androids. And I will always be like, hey
I'm
guys, this is
actually going to
Android
test that
number.
theory right now. And I say that because I have a
It's
sister
done it for
who's.
me. It's done it for me when I'm not talking about my own name.
Oh.
And
No,
then,
it doesn't do it for me.
yeah, and then I've had people like on social media or whatever be like, you know, Lindsay, I'm your biggest fan. And I'll be like, thank you. It's AY, by the way.
Yeah.
Like just a gentle, or people call me Heather. And I'm like, that's my middle name. Also my birth mom's name. I'm like, that's my middle name. And they go, oh my God, I'm sorry. But it's because I'm Lindsay Heather Pierce on like, you know, it's on my email. It's in my, you
Yeah.
know, I have multiple different emails. It's on my you know, my Facebook page. It's my Instagram. It was my Twitter. Like it's been Lindsay Heather Pierce for forever. But yeah, it's just one of those things. And there was a we got a note session. Billy, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I only say it because I'm obsessed with you. But she sent us, you know, like, hey, these are the put-in notes for, you know, the people that were getting put in that are new. And these are the notes from the show that night for the people that have been here for a while. So we were getting all of the notes for our new people and for the people that have been there for a couple months. And it was like landsay, landsay, or landsey, landsey, and then it started being like Yahtzee, like scrat, like how many different versions of landsey can we get? So it was like Dinsley and Lindsey and Edisley, and like it just started going. And Michael, my Jack, we were reading it at the same time, and he was like, oh my God. He was like, she has no idea that she was just like, K-k-k-k-k-k-k. You could tell that she was typing at like warp speed.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it was like Lindsay was her foil. So even the misspelling of that name, it started just like, it felt like Tom Riddle in like Chamber of Secrets. Like just like, I am Lord Voldemort. Like it just felt like everything was like switching around. And I sent her an email because it happened a couple more times in different notes. And I was like, hey, my love. I was like, I just want to very gently let you know that my name's spelled with an AY. And she was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I do know this. I swear to you, it just like
Yeah.
went away. And I was like, oh, I'm not judging it. I'm just letting you know that it is AY. And it means so much to me to have it spelled AY. And like, we are totally good. We're totally fine. It is not, who gives a fuck? It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But and she was like, oh my God. And I was like, Dinsley will always be in our heart. Dinsley will always have Dinsley, Billy. We'll always have Dinsley.
You think like Dinsley could
Yeah.
like your drag name?
Oh my God, wouldn't that be fantastic? I feel like what's Demi Lovato's like cousin's name? It was like Moot or some Poot
Oh,
Lovato, where it was like them from a different angle and it didn't even look like them. And they were like, this is Poot. It's like Dinsley, I think, might be my Poot.
yeah.
But
Or it could be like your Beyonce Sasha
yeah.
Fierce.
Listen, see, I love the way that you think.
You.
You were like, let's take this like weird little
Yeah.
like
So
thing
like
and like
so
turn it into a positive.
when you like perform on Titan like at Titanic today, you're gonna bring like your Dinsley energy with you on stage
Right.
tonight.
I mean, I'm gonna need it. It's,
Yeah.
you know, we've all been recovering. We just got the COVID sweep that everyone's gotten, and then RSV is sweeping through adults right now, which is really scary. There was three of us got COVID a couple weeks ago, and then we all got this like mysterious COVID-like thing again, like a week
Yeah.
ago. And we like multiple cast members were out for like 3, 4 days, myself included.
Yeah.
Yesterday was my first day back in like a handful of days, and I was like, God, what
Yeah.
is happening to us? And we were like, I don't know, but
I
take
work
your
in
vitamins.
medical, so
Yeah.
I see a lot of people getting tested and getting vaccines and everything now. So, but
Yeah.
it's also, you know, it's that time of year
It's
where
that
everybody.
time of year. Well, and the weather shifts and like everyone's allergies are really bad. And I'm someone, I don't know about you working in the medical field, but I've always been someone that if my allergies are really bad and I start getting that like histamine response and then the drip, that not only leaves me like down on the floor immunity wise, but then it's like, how about like, yes, you have to catch something from like a vi viruses don't just like up virus viral infections. Bacterial, I will give myself a bacterial infection from having allergies. And it's so annoying. The amount of times that my doctor will be like, yeah, I don't know how, but you have a bacterial sinus infection. It's clearly not going away. And I was like, it's allergies. I haven't had one of those in a while, but thank God. But yeah, it's my doctor, you know, we called and I was like, me and these, you know, this handful of other cast members were like, and I'm actually glad we're talking about this because health, I think, in the performance community is so key. But it's impossible to stay healthy all the time because of one, the workload, access to healthcare. If you have enough weeks to qualify for healthcare in your union, if your union's on strike or not, and then which obviously we won't get into, but side eye.
You can. I mean,
And
you don't
yeah, I
have to
mean
at this moment.
we almost went on strike while I was on tour with Mean Girls. You know, it's like a whole thing. You know, and you're putting your body in a state of, I want to say like decomp, basically. And to recomposition your body, you don't have a lot of time to do that. And then also like have a life outside of your job. So work-life balance is really hard, but called my doctor and it was me and these two other girls specifically that had all the same symptoms. And then one of our other girls had gotten COVID. And we were like, well, we all just had COVID, so we can't get it again unless like we somehow didn't get all of our antibodies or rare occasion it mutated into something else and we had this like mutated version of the thing that we just had, which is so rare. That's so hard to do. And you know, and someone was like, well, maybe it's like our body like thinking that we're gonna get sick, so it's responding in that way. And I was like, that's not how that works either, though. So let's call this doctor of mine, and called him, and he was like, well, you know, I'm sure you've seen it too, where everyone's coming in to get, it's like the one swab that's flu, COVID, RSV. And he was like, 90% of the adults I'm seeing are RSV. And I was like, for those of you who are clearly listening, we're not gonna, you know, I'm putting up like the get thee behind
Cross.
me, Satan, cross fingers. Like I was like, I don't have RSV. We don't have RSV. Thankfully, RSV for normalish healthy adults is the same as just like a really shitty bronchial, cold, sinusy, allergy, really shitty virus. But for young people and older people, like babies, you know, children,
Yeah.
Thankfully, they have vaccines for it, but like, and he was like, our immunity is down for stuff like this because we've been masked for the last 3 years. And he was like, and you know, we were so wrapped up in COVID, which we needed to be, but now everybody's immunity for all these other things are so low that like adults are getting mono for the first time,
Yeah.
you know, and they're getting, you know, and everyone's out being able to go on dates and like hang out and go see theater and go see shows and, you know, see their friends and travel. And you know, we're picking up these diseases a lot harder
Yeah.
than we were before, and or these infections, I should say. And it's just a wild experience to not only have, like you said, like when Broadway was coming back, to come back and be a part of that reopening of you know, and to see it, to be in the audience for so many of these shows, and to be performing for these shows, to see the way that it's evolved, and where I've seen a lot of patience and kindness. Our company's pretty exceptional, I have to say. Shout out to Titanic. We are not, you know, it's an off-Broadway show. It is a union house. But like off-Broadway doesn't make a ton of money. And we thankfully the show is so beloved. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a
I
beloved
haven't.
show.
I do
Oh,
need to see
please
that.
come.
No, because
Oh, I'll
like
send
now that
you.
I know you, I
And you
also
have Brandon.
Brandon, and
Yeah. Raquel.
I know Jackie Burns because we worked together during the
Best.
pandemic, and she's came
The
on
best.
my podcast. And I think she actually lives, like, I don't want to say where she lives, but I think I
Yeah.
know where she lives because my
Yeah.
sister lives in the same area. So I'm
Yeah.
always tempted to like just randomly text her, be like, hey, it's been like years
Yes.
since we spoke, but
Yeah.
I think I'm
But she'd
by her.
remember. Oh my
Oh yeah,
God, she'd
she
be
will.
like, "Hello."
Yeah. Yeah.
When we get off this, I'll send you all the
Perfect.
codes and the links and stuff. You have to come because the best people, and they really do, you know, not every job is perfect. And I'm sure you've heard with all of the amazing people that you've interviewed and that you've spent time with on this podcast that, you know, one person's favorite dream job at one show was someone's like worst time, you know, or the things that you talk about off the air. But I can say that, you know, anybody listening to this, when you go and see Titanic, regardless of who is in the cast at the time when you go see it, know that it's not a perfect job, but they treat us like human beings. The people in that building specifically treat us like human beings, and that is more rare than you would think in terms of corporate theater. And it is a
I would just
balm to
like
the
to say
soul.
that I have heard stories and I understand.
Yes, it is a balm to the soul. And it's beautiful to be a part of something where the people that are there every day,
Yeah.
management, the wardrobe, the crew, the band, all everyone.
Yeah.
We're all aware that we're fighting against a system a lot bigger than us, and we're taking care of each other. Like there are simply things that like just can't be worked around.
Yeah.
Like just because of the
Yeah.
Broadway League and the Actors Equity, there's just things that we simply can't
Yeah.
work around. But the way in which they take care of their people, knowing that this is a lot of people's first union job, you know, or that this is the first union job that they've had this year. So they might not be able to afford or even qualify for health care. So they have a doctor that specifically works with Titanic, not me specifically, but like with Titanic, that if you are injured or sick at the show or something is happening where, you know, it is hindering you from being able to do your job, they will get you on a telehealth call and budget it and take care of it. And you are just responsible for like any of the follow-up, you know, Medicaid, whatever it is. And even if it's like this medication's gonna put me out for 200, they're like, okay, let us go to like our purser and see what we can do. Like it is, and that's, again, it's not, you know, it every single day is different and it's not a perfect job, but to go in and know that even emotionally, they're like, okay, let's listen to how you're feeling first. What can we do to help you? Every single time I've messaged with company management, every single time that I've messaged with stage management, it's let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Even if it's crazy. Like, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. When I got COVID, when we had the COVID outbreak a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, can you just like send me a quick rundown of what the protocol is? Like, of, you know, how many days, like when do we decide what day zero is? You know, how long do I need to be out? When do I need to test every day? You know, the like, if I still have symptoms and I'm testing negative, do I still sit, like, what are we doing? And you know, Casey, shout out to Casey McDermott, our one of our company managers. She was like, you know, here's the rundown. And she was like, you know, if you need to see a doctor, let us know and we'll take care of it. Like, if you need this, if you need this. She was like, we, you know, if you need to get your groceries delivered, or because you're out, you know, even though you technically get like COVID pay, like you're out of your job for 5 days or more. And not everybody has roommates. Thankfully, I live with two of my dearest friends who are also married. And she was like, you know, if you need someone to go get groceries for you, if you need to go get groceries, they reimburse up to like 175 or something like that, dollars of
Because
groceries.
that's just one grocery run on DoorDash. And I say that
Exactly.
because I had COVID
One,
last
she,
year and I lived
yes. And
by
she was like,
myself. And I did a DoorDash and I was like, this is more money than I ever spent on groceries because of
Yes.
delivery fees. So I get
Yes. Yes. And she was like, you know, it, and if you have a list of things that you need sent to you, we can order that for you. Or if you want to go on Instacart, you know, DoorDash or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And I said, if I do it myself, you know, do I just send you the receipt? She's like, yep, you let me know. And she was like, and feel free to go over and we'll just reimburse you up to what we can reimburse. I didn't get that for any of the other jobs when I had COVID. That wasn't a thing. And it wasn't like, and not because those jobs like were like, fuck you guys, not at all. It's just the way in which the industry is moving and the way in which I'm seeing certain workplaces, you know, and bad and good, you know, or for better or for worse, the way that I'm seeing these places begin to evolve, is really, it makes me really hopeful for putting the people before the profit. And yeah, and I really appreciate that as a performer, because we've been through a lot, right? Like, I think if we hadn't gone through this really harrowing experience as a collective globally, we, you know, it might still be that, like, you know, get a shot of steroids in your butt cheek and get, you know, get going and get on your merry way. But and even Mary Beth Abel, legendary Mary Beth Abel, stage manager over at the Gershwin, she was like, when I got injured at Wicked, she was like, you have one body. You have one body. And this, you cannot, like, you are not even into your 30s. You cannot hurt yourself. You know, it was like, you have one body. And Lisa Leguio, our amazing associate director, said the same thing. She was like, you know, I got injured when I did this show and I was on the road and I didn't, you know, I'm not going to tell her story without her being here, but she, you know, she was like, I didn't take the time that I needed, and I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but I really wish that I had done that. So you got to do what you got to do. And even though, you know, there were days where it didn't feel like that in certain jobs, it just being made to feel like a human being. I mean, theater is, like we were saying earlier, it's live theater. Human beings are going to drop props and they're going to forget a costume piece and they're going to trip and they're going to forget their lines and they're going to have to work around. They're going to miss their entrances. You know, it's, if you were to stop and look at, you know, like Shakespeare says, all the world's a stage and all the men and women are
Really.
merely players. It's, if you like, especially here in New York, you know, the tri-state area, you stop anywhere in Hell's Kitchen Midtown, and you press yourself up against a wall and you observe, baby, the play is rife. It is a moment. Like, we are having, everyone is in their own little play. And it literally is real life, and that's the beauty of theater, is you go in and you're like, ah, oh, There we are. We're all sitting together. We're all dreaming this dream. We're breathing in the same cadence. I don't know if you've ever seen about those studies where people go and see a show and everyone's heartbeat starts to sync. Everyone's like rhythm starts to sync. Everyone starts to kind of breathe at the same pace, and it's like collective regulating. And it's an amazing thing. There was a guy that came to Wicked Reopening, and I remember this tweet going out, and I think I took a screenshot, and if I find it, I'll email it to you. But he said that his Apple Watch at one point was like, your heart rate is way too high. It was like either it was like at the beginning of the show when like Glinda was coming down, Jenna Claire, it's good to see me, isn't it? It was like, your heart rate's too high. Like, are you going into like, are you having a heart attack? And he was like, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then at the end of Defying Gravity, his watch was like, the sound is way too loud. Where like it was like this, the decibel of sound that you are hearing is too loud, like danger. Multiple times his watch was like, you're in danger.
You know what's so funny? Like,
And I
imagine
think that's an
if that
amazing
guy
thing.
like went with his partner or someone who just like loves theater, and he was just like, "Oh, I hate theater," and so he can just be like, "My Apple Watch told me seeing theater could kill me." Just like imagine
That's,
if that was a thing.
do you know how hardcore we are?
Yeah, like we're so hardcore, like we could kill you. I will, like, I used to do merch at shows, and I was working a show once where a guy, there was like an incident. I think somebody like had a heart attack or passed out or something, like towards the end of the show, and they had to pull them out. The ambulance came all within like 10 minutes before the show ended. And like the show ended and people just came out. You wouldn't have known something happened.
Unless
Crazy.
there's like a show stop, it's always kind of like,
Yeah.
it's
I know. And
theater,
I'm
it's
just like,
life.
small, I think it was the Golden, yeah, it was the Golden Theater, and I was just standing out in the hallway. I was like, who wants to buy a t-shirt? Hey. This is crazy.
Hopefully that person's all right.
No, I think they ended up being fine. I don't think I've ever heard of someone, like, at least in my experience, like dying. I will say, like, the best story I ever heard, which is like also terrible, they did a play on Broadway called Grace with Michael Shannon, Ed Eisner, and Paul Rudd. And the company I worked for had the show, and the person working there, I'm like, of course this happened when they were working. They would have
Of
this
course.
amazing story to tell. Somebody vomited from the mezzanine down to the orchestra.
Slay.
Yeah,
Slay. You
I
can't
think
see me,
Paul Rudd
listeners, but
was,
I
yeah.
covered my face.
I think Paul Rudd actually
Oh.
like told this story on one of the talk shows, and he was like, yeah, Michael Shannon just like looked out into the audience and like gave a stare. People were quiet, but I think they had to like give out free shirts or something. But it's like, that's horrible, but kind of.
I mean, it is a collective, it is, we are a community.
Yeah. I mean, I've also like seen shows where people are just like so drunk. I saw like Spring Awakening once where somebody in the audience was just so
So
drunk and
drunk.
I had to take them out. And that was like, this is how old I am. Original Broadway cast of Spring Awakening.
My best friend was Lauren Pritchard's replacement.
Oh,
He
wow.
was there. Yeah,
Oh
a
my God.
mannequin.
Yeah. Worked with her too during the pandemic. She's great.
Yeah, she's the best. She'll be here soon. She'll be here. She'll be doing
Oh yeah,
shout
you
out
guys
to
are
this
doing a
whenever
show
this comes out. I'm
together,
doing,
right?
yeah. Well, I'm just there for a night. So, there's a show
Well,
called Exorcist.
let's talk about it since we're
Yeah,
talking about
why
you and
not?
your
I mean,
career.
I was gonna say this is, what's up next. I'm just gonna be there for one, maybe two nights. On a Monday because those are my only days off. But there's a show called Exorcistic that my friend Michael Shaw Fisher wrote. He's a genius. He's an LA Shakespeare like professor, a genius. And he took this idea of The Exorcist, the movie, and that people are doing the show, The Exorcist, and it's like a play within a play, very meta, very much like very Shakespearean, actually, very Hamlet. And the girl that's playing the daughter, the girl that gets possessed is Emma. Emma is playing the girl that gets possessed. She's playing the actor who plays the girl that gets possessed.
I feel
And then
like
she gets replaced by a
so
Broadway diva.
good.
So she gets replaced by a Broadway diva who is a different walk-on cameo role pretty much every day. And I'll be doing it for their opening, maybe for another one. We're not quite sure yet because I am working and I
Yeah.
have to be careful. But she then, she is then possessed by the demon, and it just kind of all starts to go to hell, literally. So it's very much, for anyone who's seen Titanic, there are a lot of shows that are birthed in LA from like Rockwell Table and Stage, for the record, which is how Steve Kazee and I met. We were
Yeah.
talking before we started recording. And they're like these slightly immersive
Yeah.
theater experiences where you're kind of within and without. And Titanic is very much the same way. It was born from Rockwell Table and Stage, Ty Blue, Marla Mendel, Constance Umurzuli, that we all met doing shows there. And we've
Yeah.
known each other. I mean, these are 10 years, decades
Yeah.
of
I think
friendships
I
that
know
are
best.
being
I
brought
think cruel
forward.
the sorry, I keep talking over you. I
No,
think
not at
that's
all. You're
where the
good.
Cruel Intentions musical started.
Yes. And I was in that. And I brought Emma into that.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I think they
And
also
that's how Connie and Michael, our Jack, currently met, because they did it at Le Poisson Rouge here off Broadway.
small world things coming together. I know
Yeah.
that some like other stuff there too, and I'm just like brain farting on so many of them. I think they did Clueless
They did
musical.
Clueless. They did
Yeah.
Scream, which I did with Marla and Connie. Troop Beverly Hills, which Ty, our director here,
Which
directed.
is why, like, I don't understand why that's not like a real thing yet. And I just let there's just the
Stay
Curry Time song will be
stay
just
tuned. Stay
so
tuned. Just
like,
stay tuned. I
I
was
just
like,
want to
that
know
I
like
think that
who's
might be
gonna
the
be
next.
playing why can't I think the lead female whose name I can't think of right now, and I effing love that movie so much, and I'll like remember it
Well,
one more time.
Marla played her. Yeah, our
Oh
original
yeah.
Celine. Yeah, so Marla was the original lead,
Yeah.
of Titanic, and Constantine
Yeah.
Rizzoli was the original Jack, and Ty Blue was the original is the original
Yeah.
director, and he they were our leads, and I played young Carla Gugino
But
because
you know,
my
she
whole
actually
everyone
lied
was
about
like,
her age to be in that movie.
she sure did. She
Yeah.
sure Chica Barnes fell. Yeah. So we had, and during that show, during Troop Beverly Hills, there was a night where you would get done at Rockwell. You get paid like $65, $75 a show, and you get a drink ticket or two. You go to the back and you get your drink and you're having your post show, nightcap or seven. And they were like, we have to do Titanic, but it's gonna be sung through the eyes of, and the songs of Celine Dion. You're gonna play Celine, you're gonna be Jack, I'm gonna direct it. You're all gonna be in it. And lo and behold, nearly a decade later, here they
Yeah.
are. We just did 500 shows off Broadway. They just celebrated a year birthday at the Daryl Roth, and it's great. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's that exorcistic comes from very much that kind of stock. And there's a burlesque company in LA that his wife, who's one of my best friends, Allie, runs, called Cherry Poppins. And Em and I are both also in that troupe of burlesque performers. And my friend Tyler, who I live with, is also in that troupe. And she will be the super swing for Exorcistic when it's here. So it's just like the whole fam's getting together.
Yeah.
And it's, Emma hasn't performed here since, I think she was doing Home Sweet Home a while ago, because then she moved to LA to do Good Trouble and moved back to LA. And so
Yeah.
it's the first time Emma and I have done a show together since doing the Cherry Poppins New Year's Eve show 2019 into 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
So I'm
like,
excited.
yeah.
I was like, I just want to scream in my best friend's face. I just love her.
Yeah, when
Yeah.
does that start? I know that's for like the Halloween season, but
Yeah. October 8th through, I think, the 23rd, I think,
sorry.
is. No, you're fine, girl. I'm coughing too.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that you decided to say yes to 10:30-ish, or like sometime this morning, because I was like, getting to chat with you is going to let me know how
Okay.
these two shows are gonna go. So you're getting me ready for the post, the steam. You're
Yeah.
getting ready me You're getting me ready for the yoga.
You're
You're getting me ready for a
Deshinde. I
two
can't
show
even remember
day.
your drag name now. Dislindsay?
Dinsley.
Dinsley? Yeah.
Dyslexic.
Dishley, that's a new one.
Dyslexic. That literally is. It
Yeah,
literally
I'm just
does.
gonna call you
Literally
Dishley
is.
now because that's what I know.
Dyslexic. Yeah.
Dishley. Hey girl,
No,
Dishley.
I did get told that a great drag name would be Jean Jacquet, which is Justine Jacquet with a French accent. I
I've
know.
heard
And I
this
was like,
show.
that's, I was like, that might be, because I haven't come up with a burlesque name yet. So maybe, like, maybe we can fit, we'll put our heads together, you and I. We'll come up with something.
I go by Pejame sometimes. I really don't. It's been years, but I heard this comic. He was saying that, he like met this woman who named their son Pejame. And because they're like, I walked into a department store and I saw the name Pejame. And I said to them, pajamas. So the joke was they named their child pajamas, but they pronounce it Pejame. So that's like, that was like over 10 years ago. That was like my name at
What
like
a
people called me Pejame.
legacy.
Yeah. So if anybody who like worked the bar remembers me as Pejame, just let me know. And so I think it was like one or two people who would be like, what's up, Pejame? So, listen,
Genius, honestly.
better than being called something else or having your name incorrectly, which we, the worst is also when you're on a dating app. I don't know if you are, it's not my business. To me, it's
Oh
like
no. No, I'm yeah, I'm
it's a
taken.
pit of despair. And I can't tell you how many times like members of my family are like, go on Hinge. Like this person, they're because my dad's side of the family, like cousins or have met their husbands or fiancés or significant other on Hinge. I'm like, there's no guys. And also, like the worst is when they write to you and they spell your name wrong. And it's like, my name is there.
I have been on the dating apps briefly, and I'm so, y'all are warriors.
It's
You really
just,
are.
I think at
It's
this point,
just,
I just want to meet cute at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. That's all I want. Like, I don't ask for much.
honey,
And that's
and the
what I
thing
want.
is you can have them. You can have them. They do exist.
You
They
just,
do.
like my
It's,
coworker
yeah.
met somebody at a meet cute. I was like, how dare you? But no, it's just like the worst. And then you just go, hey, you spelt my name wrong. And then sometimes they get like very defensive.
Oh yeah.
Or sometimes they'll just be like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Like it really just depends on how like you also write to them. I'll just be like, you spelt my name wrong. And then they'll act however they act.
Well, it, just like try. Mistakes are mistakes, but like
Exactly.
try. Also, don't come in hot wrong. You know what I mean? If you're
And
gonna come in
also,
hot, don't be wrong.
Like, don't get insulted if I'm not giving out my phone number right away because I've been catfished before. And no, thank you. So,
Yeah, the internet's crazy.
yeah.
It's so spooky out there.
Every time I get something, I'll like message my friend who's married and I'll be like, aren't you happy you're married and you don't have to deal with crazy guys? Like,
Yeah,
worse.
truly.
Anyway, so that
Truly.
enough about my non-existent love life. Let's talk about you. So, like, we've gone through an array of many different things, and I usually go over people's careers, but you've done a lot of regional work, which is great. And then you had this competition reality show, which brought you onto a TV show, which is actually, which I'm sure you know now, is getting like a rebirth of knowledge to people because it's on streaming services. And it's funny because when I went to see Funny Girl, there was this girl next to me who had to be like high school who was like, oh my God, that's Rachel Berry on stage. So there's like this whole new generation who's introduced to this show. Because of that show, do you think that helped you with getting some roles regionally, a little bit notoriety?
Oh yeah, I mean, we were, I mean, we were, the reality show was everywhere. And it was brand new. No one had ever done something quite like that, where the prize was to be on the biggest show in the world at the time. And it was the fan base for both sh the that was eventually created because of the reality show, and then the
Sorry, I'm just like
they're
noticing what my hair looks like, and
no,
it's
you're fine. I didn't even notice, but yeah, it definitely was, we were really young. And it was a lot, all at once, and nothing can really prepare you for anything like that. I think the only person from that reality show that had any sort of ability to compartmentalize and juggle how big of an undertaking it was all going to be was maybe Damian McGinty, because he had done Celtic Thunder and, you know, they were really big and he had done touring and, you know, had experienced things, you know, at a young age, that none of us had before. So that was, you know, we would take a page out of his book a lot. You know, and he had representation and stuff and we didn't. And yeah, I mean, it helped me, not only Glee project wise, but you know, it was 12 young, hot out, you know, the oven talents, and everybody was interested in chomping at the bit, but especially once the third season of the Fox show came out, it was, I was in the first episode, and it, you know, it was a big, splashy number. It, I was the, not me, but the number, the song went straight to top 10 within a day. And 'cause it was, I mean, the mixers, it was wonderfully, the, I know all the backup singers that did all of the vocal laydowns, and it had started as one sort of track, and then we, they kind of called me back in to re-record things, and we were like, actually, we want it this way, and it just got, it was really cool. It was a cool experience, and once that episode came out, I was actually here in New York. I was doing a workshop of a show for like 2 months. I was living in Midtown, and I was going to rehearse. It wasn't at Pearl, and it wasn't at Ripley. It was somewhere else, and I can't remember. It was a really tiny rehearsal studio, and I had to walk through Times Square to get there. And I remember walking through, and we'd already been, I'd already like been in New York for the upfronts for the reality show when we were premiering. So I was kind of like looking at these little spaces that we had gone as groups, and remember walking through Times Square and getting stopped multiple times by people that lived in New York. Not to like people that were not, had no camera. Like they were trying to get somewhere and they would stop and go, "Hey, you were great last night." And you're, "Hey, you were fantastic in that episode." And I was like, "What?" Because I didn't have red lipstick on. I mean, I had my hair and, you know, my face, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't looking like anybody from a TV show, certainly. And people were just stopping me to tell me. And I was like, oh my God, I think, I just didn't understand. I didn't have an idea of how far the outreach would be, and certainly not coast to coast. I've been California, you know, bred and buttered my whole life, and was not known in New York in any way, shape, or form. And so that was a really interesting experience. And then, you know, that helped me get representation. And then yeah, it definitely like my the ball was rolling. And then yeah, and then I did other TV and regional things, and then I got my first Broadway audition when I was 28.
Nice.
It was,
And
and it was wicked. And then I, yeah,
so you do want to
right
talk
place,
about,
right
sorry.
time. No,
Yeah.
you're
Do you
good.
want to talk about your, well, I also, because I read this too. It's, I don't, Almost Famous Live at the Troubadour. Who did you play? I want to know that.
Zooey Deschanel.
Okay, great.
I was
I
the sister, and then I also played the wife
Nice.
that Russell is cheating on. They're all cheating on each other. But that wasn't at all the musical Almost Famous.
Oh no, I know.
It
It
was
was because
not at
you've
all the same
also
thing.
done, like, for the record, you have, I wrote again the research. You had
Yeah.
Baz, Tarantino, Brat Pack. So it's like the live. And I like spoke to Steve Kazee. He did Love Actually Live. So it was kind of like
Yes.
one of those things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Our Dearest in Almost Famous, the musical?
I didn't know. I didn't know Brandon then. And I was on tour
Oh yeah, with
when that was
Beyond.
happening. So
We'll talk
I
about
was,
that.
yeah, I wasn't here.
I
Yeah.
just remember I saw previews after, like, after it opened, and then he went on as Jeff Beebe. So my friends and I went like his second night on as Jeff Beebe, and we
Yeah.
like second or third row center orchestra for like $79. So at one point he like saw me in the audience and like yelled at me. It was
The
great.
best.
Loved it. I love him
He's
so
the
much.
best.
Them so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah, the best.
Okay, so let's talk about Wicked. I had to, it's there. So have you always wanted to do Wicked? Was it always something like the role of Elphaba you've always like seen yourself, or I don't want to say like aspire to do, or just like always wanted to do? What was your, there's going to be a lot of questions thrown at you right now. What was the, oh shit, this is like for Broadway, not the tour. Like how did all of it come about for you?
So I, in 2009, my mom took me to see Wicked right before I turned 18. It was for my 18th birthday. And it was sitting down. It was like the sit down San Francisco. They had the sit down LA and then the sit down San Francisco. And it was
You remember who you saw?
Teal Wicks and Kendra Kassebaum.
I'm sorry, one more time.
Teal Wicks and
Okay.
Kendra Kassebaum. And I'd never seen it. I'd listened to the music. I had never seen videos at all of the show. I didn't know that there was like actual flight. I didn't know what I was in for. So I went in blind, knowing the music, and that was it. And from the music, if you've not seen the show, it doesn't really tell you what's going on. You don't really know, other than like the CD booklet, you don't really know what's going on. So I went in pretty virginal. And Teal went up and I was blown away, and I turned to my mom and I was crying and I said, I will do this someday. I have to do that someday. I'm gonna do that. And then went through my the rest of my life, and I'd been on a luxury cruise line performing for about 9 months. I went all over the world. It was my second cruise job, and I had been offered another contract to go to South America and Antarctica, which are the only two continents I've not been to. And I was like, absolutely. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, I don't think I want to be at home for a little bit. I think I just want to be at home. And I kept saying, I want to do Shakespeare. I want to do a play. And because that's one of my deepest loves is plays and Shakespeare. And I said, I'm gonna live in New York by January. Those are my goals. And this was maybe May 2019, and I just kept saying it to everyone. And eventually I emailed the company and was like, hey, I hope this is giving you enough time. It was plenty of time. And they were like, no worries. I said, but I think I just need to be home for a little while. I haven't met one of my nieces yet. And I need to be home. And it's been a year. I'd rehearsed for 2 months and I was on the ship for nine, and I need to get my feet back on the ground. And then I'd signed with my new representation, my agent, Natalie. And within a month, I had the Wicked audition. And I, no, within 2 months, I'd gotten the Wicked audition, of signing with her. And the month previous to that, I was doing Romeo and Juliet. So I was doing Shakespeare. And then I got the Wicked audition, and it was just like a run-of-the-mill, possible replacements, possible covers, cataloging. And I said, I just don't want to go in there and get laughed out of the room or have them immediately throw anything away. So as long as I go in and
Do what you
be
need to do.
decent. Yeah, I didn't want, I know, nowhere in my mind was I like, maybe I could be the standby, or maybe I could, be the pink beret. Never. And then as I was leaving the first one, Craig Burns, the casting director at Chelsea for Wicked, was like, come back tomorrow. Are you available tomorrow? Can you come back? And then as I was leaving the callback with Lisa Leguio and Dan Michiquet, I remember her going, how tall are you really? Because I'm 5'4" and 3/4", like truly, like on the dot,
Me
five four and three
too.
quarters. But they ask you to wear a long skirt and
Oh,
heels
the
in the
three-quarter
audition.
thing to me is so important because
Well,
I
I always say, because like
was
I'm 5'5". Like, if
five
we're being real, I'm 5'5". Like, once you put a sneaker on me, I'm 5'5". But I always just say, I'm 5'5". And she goes, how tall are you really? And I said, well, I'm 5'4 3/4". And she was like, oh, she's honest. And then I didn't hear anything back. And then there was like a week or so had gone by, and I was at home for Thanksgiving, and I got a call on the weekend from my agent, which is rare because it's a holiday weekend, and
It's a weekend.
it's a weekend. It's not there, the work week doesn't really happen over the weekend. She was like, they need you to go in again. And I said, oh, okay. But I had a gig that took up like literally my whole week from like 10 to 6 every day. And it would need me to be in like a middle zone of LA, and I needed to be in Santa Monica, which is like the coast. And I said, can they see me at 9?
Yeah.
If I can even sing it at 9 in the morning. And I went into the Telsey office in Wilshire and sang everything until Kingdom Come over and over. And they just kept saying, let's do it again. You're almost warm. Like it's 9 in the morning. And did all the scenes. And I remember they would stop me and restart me. And they were like, we just really want you to have a good audition. And it wasn't because it was going badly. It was
Yeah.
like if a line got dropped or something, we would go back and like do it again. So I was there for an hour, and I thought that everybody was coming back in to tape again. Little did I know, the whole office went in early to tape me to send it to Schwartz and Joe Mantello, and to get the okay. And I wasn't aware of any of that. And I didn't hear anything, and I thought, of course, I thought I'd gone terribly. And I was like, they're never gonna talk to me ever again. And then on January 2nd, they called me, and my agent was like, how do you feel about moving to New York to play Elphaba and Wicked on Broadway? And I was like,
Like, I'm getting emotional for you right now. So, yeah.
but it wasn't even, I was like, what are you saying to me? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I'm not like, that doesn't happen. So I must have been amazed. It just doesn't happen that way. It's usually you're on tour or you start as a standby. And it doesn't mean that anybody else's journey isn't as incredible, or that I like somehow like rigged the system or surpassed. It just, I think it was like right place at the right time and what they were looking for. But I genuinely remember looking at my phone, seeing that it was Natalie's name after she said that to me. And I was like, you know that this is Lindsay Pierce, right? Who are you? Did you mean to call me? And she was like, yes. And I was like, Natalie, this is huge. She was like, Lindsay, I know. but it was, I mean, it was just, it was mind-boggling. And yeah, I was 28. I was 28 years old. And then I moved by the end of January, and I was living in New York, like I said. By the end of January, I wanted to be living in New York, and then rehearsed for 4 weeks, made my Broadway debut February 25th, and then we shut down March 13th or 14th, and then reopened. And by May 2022, I was 31 when I left. So it was like a really long
Yeah.
stint of life that happened in those years of getting that contract and coming back to that contract. And it was an amazing experience. It was totally life-changing. I feel like there was a part of me that completely grew up playing Elphaba. And there are women that have like played the role off and on for like 15 years, that like actually grow up with Elphaba. But there was a part of me that had to die a little bit in order for her to come through, and that experience to come through the way that it needed to. And then, yeah. And I went right from Wicked into Mean Girls,
Yeah.
and basically switched places with Mary-Kate Morrissey, who's now the standby over at the Gershwin, and then I took over as Janice. And amazing,
Yeah.
absolutely amazing. And then I went right from Mean Girls to Titanic.
How do you think
Yeah.
from starting off doing Wicked, your Broadway debut, and the pandemic happening to going back into the show, how do you think the role had changed for you because of the pandemic and the show
Well,
itself?
yeah, I think with, well, Wicked is just always topical. It
Yeah.
just applies because it's written about people,
I have to tell
and
you this.
people are
And
gonna people,
yeah, and I think I even like told James Gish this, but James D. Gish, for those listening, Gish's Fishes represent. We decided that's he said that his friend has named his fans Gish's Fishes. So it's like we should make
Right.
that a thing now. when I saw it with like Jackie and Ashley Parker Angel and like Chad Jennings was in the show, and I got like free tickets through my old job. This was around like the Trump Hillary election era. And so at intermission, my friend kept screaming, not really, but she kept going like, Elphaba is Hillary, Trump is the wizard, and we are all the goats.
Yep.
So 100%.
It's true.
And it's still
It's
such a
true.
great show. It's been on Broadway for like 20 years at
20
this
years.
point. And it's
20 years
just,
this year.
I haven't seen it in years, but like when I've gone to see it, I still get emotional. Like it's such a
Yeah.
great show.
It is a great show. And I think, I think the when you have lines like, but it's all just smoke and mirrors, and that's the truth. Because the truth is not a thing of fact or reason. The truth is whatever the truth is what everyone agrees on. Where I come from, people believe all kinds of things that aren't true. We call it history, and it's, a man's called a traitor or liberator, a rich man's a thief or philanthropist. And yeah, I think. I mean, it was even more powerful because Wicked is such a it's a play more than it is a musical, truly, I think so. And it's treated as a play when it's taught and when you're rehearsing for it. You treat it with the not that musicals aren't serious, but you treat it as if you're doing, like a deep, intense piece of work because it is that. It is also fun and stupid and silly and there's hijinks backstage all the time, but like the marrow of the show is a very serious message, and what is good and what is evil, you have to take off the green tinted glasses and see things for what they are, and take a hard look at yourself, and lines like we've been through a frightening time, and there will be other times and other things that frighten us, but if you'd let me, I'd like to help. I'd like to be glad to the good, and something that really shocked me, that like really stressed me out, acting wise, or that made me go like, was Something Bad, which I never thought it would be, but them losing their voices, it was like something bad is happening in Oz. Like it couldn't happen here in Oz. None of us thought that this pandemic was gonna, like it was things like that where it was like the slow creep of some strange unknown disease. And this like slow, like just slowly tearing away at the integrity of these people, it that slow creep, you could really feel it. And and it just felt great. It felt great to do it again. And who I was had very much changed from 28 to 30 when I came back. I turned 29 and 30 during the pandemic, and I had gone through, a lot of life, and I'd gone through a lot of difficult decision making and growth. And I played Elphaba with a completely broken heart the entire time. I went into Elphaba without a broken heart, and I went back to Elphaba with a completely shattered heart and personal life in shambles. And that made it all the more easy to give myself to the process, and then also made it harder. Reopening a show with a shattered personal life is hard. It's very hard, and not a lot of people knew that it was happening, except for the people that were closest, in the process. Because there would be moments where I would just, during a break, have to walk away and just feel the feelings, and then come back out. And thank God for my therapist, Tim. We love Tim. But it was, yeah, I mean, it was a crucible. And then, then I was rehearsing my last week there. Whole time I was rehearsing for Mean Girls during the day, and then I do Wicked at night. And then the last show, May 22nd, 3 p.m., 2022. Flew the next day. My first Janna show was May 31st.
Wow.
And yeah, and
So
it was amazing.
was your Wicked contract coming to an end? So that's why you were seeking out other things. So how
Yeah,
did
so
Mean Girls
we
particular?
all knew, yeah, we all knew that that it was going to be like a big kind of principal cast changeover. It just, yeah, it just came down the pipeline. They were looking for replacements for the tour, and I was auditioning for two other shows on top of that one, and it was quick and dirty. I'd gone in for one audition, I did one callback, and then got the call the next like 3 days, maybe after that final callback, that not even 3 days, I think it was the next day, that they were going to make it work because they needed somebody by April 30th, which was my birthday, and my contract with Wicked didn't end until May 22nd. And so they called MK and was like, are you willing to extend up until this point, until this replacement comes in? And she was like, yeah, 100%. And then she found out it was me and she was like, yes. And it w which was really, it was nice to kind of have that another alphabet, kind of crossover. And my Fiera was one of her best friends, and one of my Glindas was her best friend, and it felt lovely. It felt right to have that kind of the ships in the night kind of thing happen. And yeah, I mean, it was that fast. I think it was, I found out in March, like maybe second week of March was when I'd known for a while that I was going to go do tour. So I had time to kind of like slowly pack my life up and figure out what that was going to look like. And it's always a relief to know that there's something else coming. But there was just no time in between. So I kind of like tour, I grew so much in tour because I like kind of had to take this like brokenhearted, healing, getting much better woman into this next experience. And I still had green all over me when I was doing my final rehearsals for Janice. I still had green in my nails, and all of my stuff had been packed into my trunk. So I didn't have any of like the shampoo and thing. Like there was green in my hair when I met the cast, and I was like, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, they must be like, oh my God, Alphabet.
they were like, this girl literally just came from New York. Like they were so like proud and excited. And meanwhile, I was like, I'm so sorry, you guys.
I
Like
would be
I'm
like
not trying.
more that
I was
way on
embarrassed.
the plane as I would be like meeting my cast, because
I
like
was
if
so
they're good
embarrassed.
actors, they would know, like whatever, it is what it is. But that's
Yeah,
just
I was just like, please know that I'm not like, you see where I just came from? Like, not at all. I was like, I'm sorry. And they lost my baggage as well, so like had nothing. And I there but there is still there's no situation dire enough to ever make me use hotel shampoo and conditioner. Simply
I thought you
won't.
were about to say like something dire about I still don't have my bag.
No, we
It's
got them
still
back.
lost.
Thank you, United. Yeah. But yeah, that was, it was, I've had to, there's not been much time in my own life outside of theater to do my own growing. So I grow through the lenses of these characters a lot of the time, and which is like a good and a dangerous thing where, you have to have work-life balance. And I've learned through these things where I end and the other one begins, and that's really healthy too. And being on the road and kind of feeling like there is no root system that you can cling to, you kind of have to be your own potted plant. So I had to learn how to germinate and how to, propagate myself and keep myself me. And yeah, and which has then led to this experience that I'm having now to be so like reapful in a way, where it's just, I just am enjoying the plant now because she's like planted in the garden. So it's, yeah, it's lovely.
So let's talk about your metamorphosis. See what I did there? To getting Titanic. How did that come to you?
Yeah. I was in the last month of tour. We were in Florida, so we did Sarasota, and then we did Naples and Jacksonville and Fort Worth. So we were in Sarasota. We had just come off of a week-long layoff. So I'd been in New York, and I got a text from Ty, the director, Ty Blue, Grandma Blue at Titanic. And he said, hey, what is your availability? Like, when does tour end? And I said, oh, we close May 7th, like the tour closes, and we'll go non-union. And he said, okay, oh sorry, there's a robin outside my window. Bright red breast. Very exciting. I said, yeah, I'm May 7th. I'll close and then I'm available. And he said, do you have any interest in being in Titanic? And I was like, of course I do. And there'd always been, they really love to like hire friends and they love to like keep it in the family, as we call it. And I said, please send me whatever I need to tape. And he was like, well, and I went, no, I want a tape. And he was like, well, yeah, one of our producers doesn't know you, so we don't need you to tape. But I said, let me tape. And then and so after our final show in Sarasota, I like threw everything up in a corner of the hotel room and put Rose on tape. And then I knew that they were having callbacks virtually and in person like the following week. Or it was like the second week of April. And so I was like kind of waiting. And I was like, hey, by the way, it's like I cannot fly in. Like I have to do, if we're doing any sort of, if you want to call me back, I have to do it over Zoom. He was like, no worries, totally heard. I said, I can't fly in. We have 1 week left. Like we have 1 month. Like I can't do it. And he said, okay. And I didn't get like a invitation to Zoom, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have put myself on tape. Oh my God. Like maybe I should have just been like, we'll see if we like anyone else. And if not, it's you. Like, damn it. Like maybe I like shot myself in the foot. And then I got a call the following week that was like, Ava saw our producer Ava, and they were like, it's you. Would you like to join the company? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And it just felt like coming home. Because the model of this show is very much what we were doing in LA, and then more so, and they've written such a great and joyful show, and it's just like getting to be with my friends every day, and I got to come in with Brandon and Michael, our Cal and our Jack, and then our first Celine, Nicole Parker, who's an old, for the record, friend. I've known her for 10 years, and also an Elphaba, so I got to like come in with like this like ragtag army, and then we got Jackie Burns in, and it's just been great. And they were really lovely. I
Also
sang
another alphabet.
another Elphaba, and they, I had time off to go to Taiwan and sing for the 10th anniversary of Frozen in concert for Disney. And they gave me 3 weeks off to go do Rent at the Muni, and now I'm back, and it's been the best. It's been the best time.
Awesome. How was doing Rent at the Muni? How was it doing theater outside in the elements?
Hot,
Yeah.
hot, very hot. Great cast. Oh my God, just the crew at the Muni. Like the Muni magic is the people that make the show. It's the crew that do it every day and that put up sets within a day of another show closing. I mean, it's like an ant farm. How fast they work. It's a beehive. It's amazing. And the wardrobe departments and the hair and makeup and the Muni teens, oh my God, and the ensemble, and it feels like these people for years and years, and it's just 21 days
Yeah.
of your life. It's amazing. And it was a dream role, and it was a dream venue. I'd written down multiple times. I said, I want to do the Muni in 2023. I want to be in that season. And if I could have my say, I want to play Maureen. I want to play Maureen in Rent, but I will be a tree if I have to be for any of these productions. I loved this season, and I wanted to be a part of it so bad. And I was auditioning for that while I was on the road. Yeah, I was many, tapes and
Yeah.
yeah. And then I got that call right before I went on layoff, and then put Titanic on tape, and then got the call right after, like right before we closed. And I
You
was like,
booking all these jobs, like, hey, girl.
well, and the thing is like, I have the season of plenty, and then there's going to
Yeah.
be seasons of famine, and
Yeah.
it's all relative. And my success is that is not that I'm booked and blessed. My success is that I have good relationships with people, and I love what I do, and I love to be a part of these communities, and I like to be I like to be a part of these experiences and make these experiences not only good for the people in the seats, but good for the people that are making the experience happen. And yeah, it's just been great, and I'm grateful for it, and I love my job, and yeah, I don't even know what else to say about it. I love it, and I'm grateful, and the show is so stupid and silly and joyful, and it's great. It's
So
just a
you
great
also
thing.
teach through like Broadway Plus and all of those things too, correct? So I know you just
I
mentioned
do.
like you like to make it good for yourself and the people you work with. So when you're teaching your students, what are some of the important lessons that you try to give them with them wanting to pursue a career in this industry?
You know, every individual is different, but the main theme that I've seen in the last couple of years is self-talk and incoming data messages that aren't necessarily their own opinions about themselves, but you know, offhanded comments or something they heard, or you know, some sort of like core belief that got implanted however long ago. A lot of performing, yes, is ability. Yeah, it's talent. Yeah, it's, you know, what you have and what you grow from that. But a lot of it is mental. A lot of it's emotional. I know if I'm not in a good place physically, mentally, emotionally, like I can't sing. It just simply won't come out. It'll certainly be a lot harder than it needs to be, because we're kinetic beings, and we're really, you know, we're really attached. The body holds the score, and we're really attached to our physical selves. And you know, when you're told something over and over again, your brain doesn't know that it's not true. It takes things in and processes it and stores it away for another time, unless you have something in place to kind of filter, you know, the grub, so that you can just enjoy the gold. And that's kind of what I like to emphasize when I'm working with young people and people my age is when, now, why did you say that? What did you create that about yourself? When did that start? You know, not like psychoanalyzing these people, but like, did you hear what you just said? Why are we saying this? And where's that coming from? And we can treat symptoms all we want, but if you don't get to the root source of something, you know, whether it's, well, I can't sing high, or I'm too fat, you know, what do you mean? Too fat for what? What is that? Too old, too skinny, too brown, too gay, too no. But it is also a lot of conversation. You know, it's a lot of the time it's just holding space for people. If they get anxious, or if they cry, or if they get frustrated, and not being like, whenever you're ready, you know, snap, 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 get it together. It's okay, let's take a breath. How can I make you feel safe? What's making you feel unsafe? Let's talk about it. And you know, always reminding, like, I am not a therapist, I'm not a life coach, I have no degrees, I'm not, you know, I'm just here to help. Yeah, it's just a lot of like making people feel safe and not dread going to a lesson. And a lot of the times they just need nurturing, and a lot of the times people just need love, and they just need someone to go, I know you can do it. So, like, until you have faith in yourself, let me have faith in you. I'll pull until you can pull. And then they do. It's kind of amazing what people can achieve when someone believes in them. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that. And it's a great thing to be a part of, and some of the most amazing things are watching like breakthroughs happen, not because of me, but because you just like help them clear things out of the way, and then they run through and they're like, oh my God, I could do the whole time. You're like, yes. Yeah. The whole time. All you, boo-boo. Whole time. Nothing to do with me. You just needed someone to be like, go to your left.
It's like you had to like
The door's
had to
on
like
your left.
pierce them,
The
you know,
key's
like
on the ground.
go my
Yeah.
student.
Yeah, it's that's it.
Yeah, the
That's
pierce
it.
energy. Coach Pierce. Again, that's my new name for you because I can't remember the other one. So you did study Shakespeare and you said you played Juliet. Is there any other like Shakespeare roles that you want to play? Because I know that because I again in my research, you mentioned that you played like other Shakespeare and heroines before. So I'm curious to know, because I like Shakespeare, but I blame Joseph Fiennes for that for a movie that I'm not going to name because of the strike.
Yeah.
But I was in London, go back so badly, back in June, and I toured the Globe because I'm
Yeah.
such a history nerd also. But I've never seen
Same.
a show at the Globe, but I've seen Globe productions, and I love like old Shakespeare. I just want to
Yeah.
see production like in the Elizabethan clothing, like somewhere in New York. And the closest I saw
Yeah,
that,
I
well,
know.
I saw the Globe productions in New York, but I mean, like, if a place in New York is doing it that is not Shakespeare Globe related, that's what I want to see. And that's my own personal like
Yeah.
annoyance to people, I guess. But I think the
No,
closest I
I'm
got
the
to,
same.
yeah, I think the closest I got to seeing like period appropriate was Richard III last summer. Yeah. But anyway,
Yeah.
enough about like me conveling about Shakespeare. But for you, what would you want to do?
I love I've played Lady Mac, I've played Juliet twice, I've played Hermia, and I have tattoos for all of these characters. I would really love to play Desdemona. I would love to play Ophelia. I would love to play Mercutio someday. I really love Mercutio. I love that character. I have been to the Globe and I got to see Winter's Tale there a couple years ago, in 2018. And it was just so good. It's just so rich. And Shakespeare's not the end all be all, but he wrote shows for the people. And he wrote shows in the spirit of what theater is. And he's not the only one that did. He's just one of the most well known. And I really love what he does with characters. And he really got kind of the melancholy of the human soul down, and the humor of the human soul down. And so I think those are some roles I would really love to do, let alone the sea. I Desdemona, I love Ophelia, just love the language. I would love to play the witches, in some form or another. I love the witches in Macbeth. There were times when I was playing Lady Macbeth where I was like, man, I really kind of want to be a witch. But I loved Lady Macbeth too. I loved her complexity, and I love Juliet so much. I mean, she's so hardcore. She stabs herself. You know what I mean? Like, fucking
Do you think
stabs herself. She's
Romeo
so
and Juliet
hardcore.
is the greatest love story of all time?
No.
Okay, I don't either. So I just like
No, not at
I'm
all. No, the point of the show is, I mean, and the reason why Shakespeare wrote her so young is that it's supposed to be so tragic.
yeah.
It's supposed to be exactly what it is, which is like they really believed it. And like maybe if they'd been given the grace of time,
Yeah.
maybe it would have worked out. But like they really believed in this, and these were two kids that one knew a little more than the other, and one was very sheltered and yet so aware of herself, and yet way too young to even be thinking about marrying County Paris, let alone, going through what she goes through. And for a 14-year-old to be so steadfast in what she thinks, and even challenging a boy who's a little more worldly and a little more, wise to the ways of the world than she is, to challenge him and be like, I see right through you, pal. Not the moon, the inconstant moon, that monthly changes in her circled orbless that thy love proved likewise variable. Like it's amazing. And I would love to do Much Ado. I love Much Ado. I love Taming of the Shrew. It come on, just the best. And I love them. I love all those shows, all those plays.
I have to text my mom that I'm recording my podcast, or else she'll like text and call me repeatedly.
No worries, and I do have to wrap up soon because I gotta go. I
I
gotta
told
go to
you, I've
my
been
call
looking at the
soon.
time. Don't worry. So would you ever want to do like Shakespeare in the Park?
Oh yeah, Shakespeare, anywhere, anytime. Sign me up.
So other
That's
than the
the
Shakespeare
dream.
role, Yeah. Any aside from like the Shakespeare roles that we talked about, what other dream roles or projects would you want to do?
I would love to originate something. A lot of the stuff that I want to do is when I would need to be a little bit older. I'd love to play Francesca in Bridges of Madison County. I would love to, play Rose and Gypsy. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like Sunset Boulevard. Like a lot of the roles that I would love to play Madame Morrible. There's just a lot of roles that are older that I have no business even thinking about trying to play right now. But
Well, they have a they're doing
yeah.
Sunset Boulevard right now in London with Nicole
I
Scherzinger,
know.
and apparently
I
they
know
like
it. I've got
aged her
friends in
down
that
to
show.
40. Oh wow, yeah, people were like freaking out because they already like released the photos that she's covered in blood at the end of the show, so everyone's like, how does why what? So yeah.
London's really good at taking a show and turning it on its head, and we need to stop being purists about what theater is, and
I
what
think
it
it
isn't.
also depends on the director too, because I
Yeah,
saw
and you don't
that,
have to. It's
yeah.
someone's least favorite version of a production is someone else's favorite. It's all relative.
Yeah.
It's art is subjective. It's subjective.
Yeah.
Like someone's favorite Elphaba is someone's least favorite. You know what I mean? Like who
Yeah.
cares?
Yeah. I mean,
But yeah,
there's
it's.
shows that I don't like, and people are like, oh my God, I can't. It's like, I love the musical Once, and there are people
I
out
love
there
that musical.
who
That's a
find it
dream
boring.
show.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I mean, I cried when I spoke to Steve Kazee about it because I'm that person, but yeah, I love that musical, and I love Great Comet, and Lightning the Piazza is also my other favorite. Those are like my top three. But I love those shows doesn't mean that the next person's gonna like them and so on. So I agree, like theater is all subjective. And when I used to be a concierge, I would tell people just because I don't like the show and you're talking to me about it does not mean that you are not going to like it.
And that's okay. And that's the beautiful thing is and then you find things that you do like that's in common, or you find the joy in the dissonance.
Yeah.
It's that is just as human as the human experience. That's the kind of the best part is we all like different things.
Yeah.
And then something that I haven't heard of is something that's your favorite, and then maybe it'll be my favorite. And it's just the best. Being alive is a really amazing miracle and a privilege.
I agree. I think you and I are going to be friends because we have some like, yeah, I agree. It's great. So other than these like grand dame roles, are there like anything else like originating grand dames, anything else?
I would love to play girl. Nothing really comes to mind. I would love to play Fantine in Les Mis. That's a dream role. But yeah, like Mrs. Lovett, I would either need to be in like a younger-esque version of the show or wait. Yeah, any good old Sondheim. I'd love to play Dot, Sunday in the Park. Company, anybody in Company. But yeah, no, I mean, I've been really grateful to across all the years, I've been really grateful to be in shows that I really want to be in
Yeah.
and play roles that I really want to tackle. And yeah, I mean, nothing that come, maybe it's Sunday morning to show day brain, but yeah, I don't, nothing else that I can think of in the moment. I've been really lucky to check off some big boxes in
Think
the
I've
last
only
couple of
asked one
years.
other person this because it came to me and I forget, but I'm going to ask you, is there any other roles you would want to play of the other gender?
Yeah, like Mercutio. I saw a production of Macbeth once where the Lady Mac and Macbeth were switched genders, and that was amazing. I was like, I want to play Macbeth. I want to play Macbeth. I think that when done well, yum. It was really fantastic. I was like, this is breathtaking. Yeah, nothing that I can think of, not at the top of my head. Yeah, I'm showed out. That's all I can think of in this moment.
All right, so one last thing before you go. What are your top going theater experiences?
Getting to see my friend John Krause finally debut as Orpheus at Hadestown. That was amazing because everyone showed up. We knew he was going to go on. We all got to go. And it was just like you could hear a pin drop. It was so breathtaking, and he was just so in. You would never know that he'd never done it in front of an audience ever. It was just so amazing. And I got to see the reopening of Phantom, and that was really cool. And to be a part of, I mean, Wicked reopening, that was unbelievable. It was amazing to be there. And when people tell me that they were there, I was like, wasn't that crazy? I'm like, how'd you feel? Tell me everything. Wasn't that the craziest experience? Like I talk as if I was in the audience. But yeah, that was a really special moment to be with everyone again in the theater and to just give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away. Rent at the Muni, getting to do Over the Moon during a lightning storm and watch the lightning happening behind the audience. That was really cool. I was like, when am I ever gonna have this happen again? Like my hair was literally like, it was wild. It was awesome. Closing a tour, closing a Broadway national tour. That was really special, and getting to be with those people and knowing we would all never be in the room again. My closing night or my closing show at Wicked, getting to say things like, we can never come back to Oz, can we, to Sam Gravitt, and like getting to walk off into the unknown. Just really amazing things and shows that I've been lucky enough to see, and yeah, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Yeah, just good shit, you
Yeah,
know?
there's some good shit out
Good
there, you
shit.
got. Speaking of good shit, go see our podcast guest. So, like, I gotta talk to my microphone as Rose and Titanic playing at the Dower.
Titanic.
I can't even say, now I have a French accent. The
The Del Roth Theater.
Dower Theater. Is that how Celine would say it? See it at the
Yeah,
Dower
I think
Theater?
so. Go friends. Yeah.
Yeah, girlfriends, there's a clip I saw on Instagram of like this guy listening to Celine Dion sing Cabaret. And it is
Oh,
the way
yeah.
she said tables, I'm obsessed with.
It's
She's
so good.
like, table. Yeah,
It's
it's
so
great.
good. So Quebec.
Yeah, so Quebec.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So go. See you, Titanic. Okay. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.